Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss! Strike three, it's over!
The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 85. If you're listening on drop day, it's June 25th. Episode 85. Get ready for this one. Caleb Ort. It's the Caleb Ort episode, which means the episode might be bad, but I think we're going to try to make it not bad. So it's the Caleb Ort episode. This is the official podcast of Standings Watching in June, also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Remember, before we get going here, hit that subscribe button, whether you're on Apple, Spotify, or the Odyssey app. Hit the subscribe button. Rate us 5 stars. It helps us out a ton. Check us out on YouTube. We're on the WEI YouTube page. We've got our own playlist. You can go to our videos. You can hit the thumbs up on them. It helps us out a ton. You can help the Play Tessie fellas out. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. By the way, follow us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter and Instagram. But I'm here with Sammy and Pat with Joe in the back. And guys, we got to talk about Jarren Duran, because for months, basically from the jump this year and dating back to last year, because he was great last year. But we got to talk about what this guy is doing. I posed the question on Twitter, and I'll give it to you now and give you guys some time to marinate on it. I guess I'll ask two separate questions. I'm going to ask you, Jarren Duran is the number what player on the Red Sox, like top what player on the Red Sox, and he's a top what player in Major League Baseball. This is a guy who he's played every single day, which I know people don't value that for some reason, especially like in basketball, like they vote for the awards on like points per game, all that stuff. Like Jarren Duran plays every single day and he leads off every single day. So he's hitting 288, 7 bombs, 835 OPS, playing elite defense. I'm going to pull up his Savant page. In terms of fielding run value, he's 92nd percentile on that. And outs above average, he's 96th percentile. Base running run value, 100th percentile. Batting run value, 90th percentile. So this is a guy who is not just impacting the game at the plate, because obviously we look at the offense when evaluating guys. But this is a guy who's playing elite defense at multiple outfield positions, and he wreaks havoc on the bases more than anyone in Major League Baseball. Maybe you can make the argument for Ellie De La Cruz, but beyond the stolen bases, I don't know if there's anyone better than Jarren Duran running the bases. So
those extra bases are just killers.
I'll answer my own question too, but I really, you're asking yourself, and we'll leave pitchers out of this. So this is only going to be offensive players on the Red Sox and in Major League Baseball. You're really asking yourself, is Jarren Duran better than Rafi? Is Jarren Duran better than Tristan Casas? I think that's it, right? Like, are we all confident in saying he's definitely better than everyone else?
I mean, do you want my answer where I rank him? Or you want to give yours?
No, you give yours.
He's the best player on the team. I don't know how you can make an argument that he's not right now, at least. Like, he's the only guy on the team that does everything. He hits. He fields, he runs, a little bit of pop. He's got 10 triples. That's crazy. Steals bases like crazy. He's already at 20. Like, what more can he do? He's a complete player, and that's so rare nowadays in baseball. Normally, guys have a tool or two, and a team will highlight that and lean into it. Jarren Duran does everything. I would love to hear the argument against it. Who could possibly be better? Who's giving you more value on a daily basis? And this is without even talking about what you said, Gordo. He plays every single game. What's that phrase? The best ability is availability. And he's got that too.
I guess the only argument against it would just be that he's been this elite. Like, he was really, really good last year, but he's been this elite for a few months. So it's like, if you want to wait, like Rafi higher because he's been doing it for years. Like, that's the argument, because unequivocally, Jarren Duran has had the best season of any non-pitcher on the Red Sox. And honestly, I'd argue than a better season than anybody if you want to compare him to Hauk. I just find it so hard to compare hitters to pitchers, which is why I want to have the discussion like this. But yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you, Sammy. I thought it was going to kind of sound hot takey to say that Jaren Duran is the best player on the Red Sox, but I just that's where I'm at too. Pat, where are you at with this? Are you gonna be with us or against us here? We didn't discuss this prior, so I actually have no idea what Pat's gonna say here.
Yeah, no. At this point in time, you can't say anyone's better than Jaren Duran. He is elite defensively. The thing that goes so under the radar with guys like Duran is even a single is as good as a double because he is swiping second base 90% of the time. So with that, you are on second base, you are stealing bags, you're eliminating the double play for the slower guys behind you in the lineup. You're playing great defense, you're getting on base, you're ducking in runs. There's nothing that Jaren Duran isn't doing. Sure, he could hit for a little more power, but who gives a shit? He has 10 triples.
Yeah. You know what's interesting too? Everything. Pat, like you said, he does everything. But I would also say he's not the best at any single thing on the team.
No.
I don't think he's the best defensive outfielder. I'd say Rafaela. I think Hamilton's a little bit better at stealing bases. Devers obviously has the best power on the team, him and Casas. What else? Throwing arm? No, obviously Thick Willie's got the best cannon you've ever seen. And still, he's the best player on the team. He's complete. The one thing I would say he's the best at actually is he's, and this isn't like, this is kind of a broad thing, but he's the best at taking an extra base. I think Hamilton's a better base stealer. When there's a ball in play, Duran is so aggressive and he's got such good instincts. And yeah, he'll get hosed once in a while, but that comes with the territory. So though he's not the best at any singular skill on the team, overall, I don't know how you could say he's not the best player.
And not for nothing, too. One thing that we talked about all offseason, and especially when we were talking about should the Red Sox bring Justin Turner back, is where is the leadership on this team going to come from? The Sox don't have a ton of veteran players. We wondered it all offseason. Is Rafi going to be that guy? Like, he maybe showed some signs of spring training. I don't know. But listen to some of these quotes that Alex Cora said this weekend about Jaren Duran. He said, this is going to set the organization for the future. Having a guy that when those prospects make it here, they look up to. We love Rafi the way he is. Just play and lead by example. But as a group, we need somebody that people look up to, right? Who better than the leadoff guy that plays every day? And he's been great in the clubhouse. I'm trying to find the leader for this organization. He's going to help us not only this year, but he's going to help everybody in the future. He loves it and he understands it. He's becoming a guy. So he
came around quickly too. Like, remember earlier in the year, he had that publicized meltdown in the locker room where he dropped the fly ball that he obviously should have caught. He's punching the locker. He's saying, I effing suck. And now look at him now, man. It's crazy the turnaround. I don't know what you attribute that to. Like, is it him being mature? Is it Cora's leadership? It's probably a combo of everything. But for us, it's just awesome to watch. And you see him on the field at Fenway. He's so comfortable. And it didn't look like he was comfortable in the seasons prior. It looked like he was kind of trying to figure out who he was. His batting stance would change every few games, it seemed. And now he's got that kind of chill lean back thing that he's doing with his hands a little bit lower than he loads. Just everything is coming together for Jaren Duran. And by all accounts, a good dude. So we're happy to see it. Obviously, as Red Sox fans, we friggin' love it. And I don't think there's anything better than when he hits a ball down the first baseline and it gets in that right field corner and you're like, oh, go, 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 go. That's the best.
It's interesting because, like, I feel like the one knock you could have had on Jaren up until really recently was the power. It's like he had only had a couple home runs in the first month and a half, 2 months, whatever. He's been hitting for more power lately. He's been a guy that we've been willing to pick in crystal bombs. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy that we are all in agreement here that he's the best player on the Red Sox. But, like, the fact of the matter is he sets the table offensively. I'm not going to say that he's the best hitter on the team, but he's probably the best base runner on the team. He's one of the best defensive players on the team, and he's one of the best offensive players on the team. And now he's becoming a leader of the team. He is doing everything that you could ask for. And it's just crazy to me that there were reports out there this offseason that he was almost traded. Ah, could you imagine?
I think they should trade him for prospects at the deadline.
I asked a couple weeks ago, like, what would a trade return for Jaren Duran be? And I remember I, like, compared it to Dalton Varsho because Jaren has the same amount of trade value or years of control left as Varsho had at the time that he was traded, if you did it this coming offseason. And it was like he got Moreno, the catching, the top, whatever, 10 prospect at the time, and he's been really good. And Lourdes Gurriel, also really good. Now, it's like trading him is not even an option. Like,
no, you just, can't trade. You no. can't just, trade him. And you know what's zero. Also interesting? We were talking about the logjam in the outfield this is probably like a month ago, month and a half ago. The three of us, four of us were talking about the logjam and somebody's got to go. And I think it was pretty much a consensus that we all said, yeah, it's probably going to be Duran. You know, Willier Abreu's younger. Sedan is already locked up. You're not going to get rid of Roman Anthony. He's going to be a top 10 prospect in Major League Baseball soon enough. Yoshida's already locked down. You're not going to get anything for him. He's barely in the conversation. Ref Snyder, not enough value. You're probably just going to keep him. What's the point? And now it's like the thought of trading Jaron Duran is insane. It's completely crazy. You can't do it.
It's crazy how it changes so fast, because like these are conversations that we didn't have all that long ago. But the fact of the matter is he's probably the most important player in your organization right now. And I know it sounds crazy just because like we had different conversations, and I know like guys get hot and guys get cold, but I want to ask you guys a couple of questions because this is actually a true test here. Jaron Duran or J-Rod?
Oh man, that's so... Well, here's the difference is that J-Rod is 23 years old. And Jaron Duran, I think, is what? He's 27? Yeah. Yep. So you got to go. You got to go J-Rod. I love Jaron Duran, but dude, Julio Rodriguez is probably going to be like a...
Don't feel bad for picking J-Rod. This would have been a stupid question even like a few weeks ago. So like, don't feel bad. You're allowed to pick J-Rod. Like, this isn't... Like, I'm trying to think of what I would say. Pat, do you have an answer for this? I'm still thinking.
Oh, it's J-Rod. It's J-Rod.
J-Rod, not this year, though. I mean, Duran's been a lot better this year. It's just J-Rod, you've seen what he can do. That's a guy who's going to be like a 30-30 guy with a gold glove. Yeah.
Yeah, and not for nothing. J-Rod got extended, and his deal is basically like he's only going to make crazy amounts of money if he's worth crazy amounts of money. And obviously, Duran is not extended. Granted, he at this point has 4.5 years of control left, so it's not like it has to be on the forefront of your mind. I'm going to ask you guys another one, because J-Rod has had a down year this year, but I don't think that it has people worried. I'm going to give you another guy, and like I guess it's just a coincidence that both these guys are having down years, but I'm thinking of speed outfield kind of guys. Corbin Carroll, he's having a down year, and there's like tangible reasons for it. His quality of contact sucks, like. But it's Corbin Carroll. He was amazing last year, and he's a kid and will probably be amazing in the future. Corbin Carroll or Jaron Duran?
Yeah, Corbin Carroll's actually, I think he's older than Julio Rodriguez, if I'm not mistaken, by like 6 months or so, something like that. But
who is the better player?
Right now it's Duran, but who would I rather?
This is like, it's not like who would you rather have for years to come? And it's also not who is better today. It's like, if you had to pick a guy for, like, I don't know, the rest of the season and next year, who... Like,
oh, I'll take Jaron Duran over both those guys for the rest of this year.
And next year?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for next... Yeah, fuck, sure. I'll take him for the rest of this year and next year. If I'm looking at, like, the contracts and which player slash contract would I rather, you have to go...
Well, it's both hard.
4 years they're both younger extended. Than Duran.
They're both younger and they're both extended. But it's like, not, yeah, it's like, yeah. It's who's better, not in this exact moment in time, because I don't think... You could make an art like Jaron Duran might be like in this exact moment in time, he's might be playing better than anyone right now. But I'm saying, like, who would you rather have moving forward this year? And like, we'll say into next year. So it's not like, oh, he's just going to continue a hot streak for the rest of the year. It's like, you got to commit for next year too. I think I would still go J-Rod.
I think I'd go Duran, because I feel like Duran is in his prime right now. This is Jaron Duran entering his prime. I think Julio is still a 2-3 years away. And I think Corbin Carroll also 2-3 years away. And so if we're just talking this year and next, give me Duran.
All right. Pat, do you change your answer from J-Rod?
If I had to rate the three through for this year and next year, yeah, I would go J-Rod, Duran, Corbin. I think J-Rod historically goes on absolute tears at the end of the year. So I think he's going to have a giant second half. And then next year he'll be however old, 25. and he'll 24. Be back to J-Rod.
He's not even halfway. He's not even halfway through age 23. That's how young J-Rod is. He's 23 and 177 days old. So he's very young.
Pat, I think I'm there with you though. J-Rod, Duran, Corbin Carroll. And this is going to lead me to my next question on Jaren Duran. He is a top blank player in Major League Baseball, not including pitchers.
Oh man. Okay. So you have to put the two Yankees guys, Judge and Soto.
Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt is a freak. Gunner. Hold Who else we got? We're gonna forget. We're gonna forget somebody, and it's gonna
I'll get some stuff.
Shohei, of course, Mookie. Right, so that's sick.
I'll list you some names. You stop me when you find someone that Jaren Duran is better than, and there'll be more. So Shohei, Aaron Judge, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Bobby Witt Jr., Jose Ramirez, Marcelo Ozuna. He's a DH now. We'll take Jaren.
Yes.
Freddie Freeman.
Ooh. What are Freddie Freeman's numbers like this year?
He is hitting .298, 11 home runs.
He has 156 OPS plus. Okay. Sorry, Jaren. Not yet. Not quite. Okay. Soon.
Mookie Betts will take Mookie. Bryce Harper. Let's see. Yordan Alvarez.
Yes. Jaren does way more. Way more than Yordan. Yordan's hurt all the time.
Okay, what about Tatis?
Oh, Duran, easy. Look at Tatis's numbers. He's having a good but not great year.
Agreed. Adley Rutschman as a catcher.
No.
No, Adley. Yeah, that's the best catcher in the world. You have to take Adley.
Do we agree Jaren Duran over Ketel Marte?
Yes. Yeah.
Super inconsistent.
Kyle Tucker. I think I'm taking Tucker.
Tucker.
How's Tucker's defense?
Look at Tucker's numbers.
I don't know what his defense is like. His offensive numbers are crazy this year, though.
Yeah, he's so sneaky, like under the radar. I think he's just got a really boring name, and that hurts him. I've always had this theory about
and a Kyle boring Tucker. Face. He's got a boring face too.
Yeah. Oh, holy shit. Yeah, he's got one of the best walk rates in Major League Baseball. All right. Yeah, Kyle Tucker. Damn. Sorry, Jaren.
Tucker is 19 home runs, 40 RBI.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a good fielder. He's 69th percentile, outs above average. So he's like pretty good.
Okay. I'm going to list a few names off here. I'm just going to rattle a few off because I honestly think Jaren Duran might be better than all of them. William Contreras, Elly De La Cruz, Willy Adames, Brian Reynolds, Christian Walker, Jose Altuve.
No.
I'm trying to.
None of those guys.
Marcus Semien.
No.
I like
that Semien plays every day. He's a very good player, but he just doesn't, not as good.
Francisco Lindor, he kind of stinks.
Nah, he's gone now.
Pete Alonso.
Nope.
Devers. We already answered that. So, okay, based on our answers, I think we're all saying top 20.
15-20 range, yeah. That's
wild.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, it's crazy to talk about it like that, but that's just, I mean, where it stands right now, that's just where it's been for all phases of the game. So let this be our argument for why Jaren Duran should make the All-Star team. Regardless of whether he gets voted in by the fans, this is a guy that better get voted in by the players and the coaches. The people playing against him better have an idea of how awesome this guy is. And he is a prime reason that the Red Sox have been able to stay right in the thick of this race, despite losing Tristan Casas for extended time, despite losing Trevor Story for the entirety of the season, Tyler O'Neill having multiple IL stints, Willy Abreu going on the IL, Devers missing time, Whitlock out for the year, Bale going on the IL, Nick Pivetta going. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Like, these guys have missed tons of time, and it's shocking that the Red Sox are in the race, but Jaren Duran has been such a big part of it. I know that we want to get in another shout here for some all-star candidacy. Sam, do you have Connor Wong's numbers in front of you right now? Connor Wong.
Sure as shit. Would love to talk some Connor Wong. Today on Sunday, as we're recording, it's going to come out on Tuesday, so he'll have a slightly different numbers. But on Sunday, just had his 200th at-bat. He's got 7 home runs, stolen 3 bags, hitting .330. .330 from your catcher, who when you got him was supposed to be kind of he's athletic, he can play multiple positions, not much of a bat. He's hitting .330 with an .870 OPS. The defense has been He's not good at blocking. He's not good at blocking. The framing, I know people like to get on him for the framing. It's not good. But he's solid at controlling the run game. Not as good as last year. He's taken a little bit of a step back in that department, but he's still got a cannon. He's got a really good pop time. So you could conceivably say that's probably going to go back up to where it was last year. But the bat is just, it's shockingly good. And you saw it very early on in the season. I can't remember. It might have been Middlebrooks made a comment about there was an at-bat that Wong had. Someone threw him a backdoor slider, and he doinked it into right field for a hit. And the comment that Middlebrooks made was, last year, Wong would have missed that, and that would have been strike three. This year, he made contact, got a hit out of it. And you can see how far that's taken him this year. Let me say it again. This guy is hitting 330. That is crazy. So Connor Wong, I think he should be an all-star. I don't think he should be starting, obviously. It's Adley. There's a lot of good catchers in the American League. But how could you not put Connor Wong in that conversation? By the way, 79th percentile sprint speed, so he's fast too. Another guy who does a lot of little things. Big fan of Connor Wong. Can't say enough good things about him. Any Wong comments from the crew over here?
I do have a question because you said Adley. I think we can all agree that Adley Rutschman should be the starter in the American League for catchers. But I'm looking at these other names, and there was a point in time where I would rattle off a few of these names, and like I would say maybe Wong is like behind them or right there with them. But since that time, I feel like he's kind of jumped them. Sal Perez has struggled. He's down to 283, 11 bombs. Ryan Jeffers was off to a great start, but he's at 12 bombs. I feel like he was at 10 bombs like a month ago, if not more. Logan Ohapi.
I'm probably going Ohapi.
272, 10 homers.
65 games, 10 home runs, 32 RBI, 120 OPS plus.
How many catchers do they usually take? Is it three or is it two?
I think two.
Connor Wong is almost 100 points higher than Ohapi in OPS. Pretty big difference. But
Connor Wong's played 21 less games.
Fair. Yeah. Might have to go Ohapi then.
So Connor Wong has... this is not up to date, but it's basically Connor Wong is around 200 at-bats. Ohapi's around 230 something. So it's like there's more data there, but like I don't know, man. Not for nothing, the Angels absolutely suck. So if you want to give that, Pat?
I was wrong. Connor Wong has played 9 less games, but has 40 less plate appearances.
Yeah, then I'm going Wong. I'm going Wong. Also, Wong last year was 92nd percentile in like caught stealing. So I'm not concerned about that. He's still having good numbers this year. It's just not as good. So Ohapi, meanwhile, is not a good defensive catcher at all. He's not good at anything. Not good at blocking, not good at framing, not bad pop time, bad caught stealing above average. He's also slightly slower than Wong. He's one of the fast catchers, like good our boy, him. But not as fast. So it's one of these things. I'd love to hear the argument against Connor Wong making the All-Star team.
With this one, it really does feel like it's going to be it's going to be Wong, Sal, Ohapi, maybe that Fry guy in Cleveland. Probably not. He hasn't had enough.
Hurt, just got hurt.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Well, today. Yeah.
Not him. Sunday. So we'll see what happens there. But I it's weird. Connor Wong, I didn't really think had much of a chance. I thought this was just going to be one of those things. Red Sox fans kind of trying to pump the guy up, but the National doesn't really see it. But it's really hard to argue with the numbers. And it's just funny that it's the guys that, Sammy, you and I last year had those deals with Bradfo about Duran and Wong. If they made the All-Star team, we would go. But
and we're back 1 year later. We might have jumped the gun a little bit last year, but this year, supremely confident.
Yeah, I feel good about Wong. Do we want to touch up on Hauk real quick while we're talking All-Stars?
Yeah. Let's touch up on Hauk. And then we also got to give a shout to a few other guys after, but I want to dive into Hauk. We won't dive into the others. Let's talk some Hauk.
So I did a little digging just to get some numbers on Hauk. I don't think the argument is Tanner Hauk an all-star? I think the argument is, should Tanner Hauk start the all-star game?
Yes.
I agree with you, Pat. I'm willing to go there because the stats are insane. WAR for pitchers. Tanner Hauk is eighth for all pitchers, 3.2 WAR. He is second in the MLB in ERA with a 2.14. He is ninth in the entire MLB in strikeouts per walk ratio with a 5.5. He is second in the MLB in home runs per nine inning, 0.186 home runs per nine.
Point
adjusted ERA plus, he is second in the league, 197. He leads the league in FIP, 2.21.
Wow.
This guy, he is insane in every single metric. Mind you, he is ahead of the only guy ahead of him in a lot of these categories is Ranger Suarez, who's in the National League.
So I'm looking at innings
better pitch right the AL. Now. Luis Gil
would have been Luis Gil before his last start, but he gave up 11 runs in one inning. So his numbers are cooked. They're still really good numbers, but they're not.
I'll give you guys the competition here. To me, it's three of the four guys who are ahead of him in innings are his competition for this. He's one third of an inning behind Jose Berríos, but he has been much better than Berríos. The three guys he's going to be competing with here are Corbin Burnes, Seth Lugo, Logan Gilbert.
Gilbert is the one that I think might start over him.
I think it's going to be Burnes.
Didn't Burnes get lit up in his last start? I think he got
a 2.77.
He went seven innings, four runs with five strikeouts against Houston. He has a 2.35 ERA. He has thrown, let me pull that up, 99 2/3 innings, which is behind Slightly Seth Lugo's 104 and behind Logan Gilbert's 106 1/3.
I think it's Gilbert's going to be the one. Gilbert's all his, like, everything looks good. The innings, the strikeouts, the whip is below 0.9.
About name recognition too. That's my argument for Burnes there, but that might be the argument against Hauk, is that this is like a true breakout season for Hauk, whereas Corbin Burnes has been doing this for years in like the league. Who does the league want to be like this guy versus this guy? Corbin Burnes is like, he is as big of a name as they come for pitchers, and that might hurt Hauk.
Bigger market, Boston, much bigger market than Baltimore. Baltimore's got one of the best teams in baseball. They can't even sell at their ballpark. So
it's true. And not to mention, too, you have an impending free agent who is going to be a top three Cy Young finisher. It's going to go a long ways resume-wise heading into free agency.
True. But the voters don't care about that for him.
No.
They're going to tell him to F himself. But I don't know.
The votes, though. It's just the manager that picks. It's going to be Bruce Bochy. Ooh. Well, also, you know what could change it is if any of these guys starts on the last Sunday before the All-Star game, they automatically get replaced on the roster. So, like, it could be like Burnes is supposed to start, could be Gilbert's supposed to start, and then, they started that Sunday, so they're out.
Hauk is cooler than Burnes. He's got tattoos. Cool facial hair. Cool hand Luke.
Burnes lost his aura when he cut his hair.
He cut his hair?
Well, like, his hair was much longer a couple years ago. Like, it's not like it's gone, but like, his hair was way, like, look at some of those pictures of him in the Brewers a couple years ago.
All right, I got a take on Corbin Burnes, and you guys are gonna emphatically agree with me because this is one of my very analytical takes. Corbin Burnes looks like he has to like use the bathroom when he's pitching. He looks like he's clenching his cheeks when he throws, like he's gonna like poop his pants. I've always thought that. Like, he looks like he's constipated.
Are you just saying that because he used to pitch with Adrian Hauser?
What? Did Hauser poop his pants?
No, he threw up on the mound.
No, it's just he looks like he's so stiff, like he's got a stomach ache, and he's like, oh, like his delivery looks, it's not athletic looking. Like Hauk is like flowy, and Corbin Burnes is like, oh, I'm going to poop my pants. I got to get out of here quick.
This picture that Braverman pulled up, it shows that he has longer hair, but actually it might be an argument against my aura comment because he looks like he has no aura in this picture. Yeah, he needs a hat.
He's not a big aura guy, Corbin Burnes. He used to do the man bun, which is either great aura or terrible aura, depending on who you are.
Who does a man bun and it's bad aura?
Every yoga instructor.
That's so true. Wait, what, Pat?
Josh Hader.
True.
When he does the man bun, it's weird.
Jermaine Wiggins, Patriots guy.
Oh my god, I forgot that he did that.
But I think Burns, like, it looks like he's clenching his cheeks when he pitches, like he's got to poop his pants. So that's why I don't think he should start the All-Star team. Tanner Houck looks like he went to the bathroom before the game and his stomach feels fine. He's ready to go. He can eat between innings and be okay. That's why you need him starting the All-Star game. I think this is the stuff that managers really consider.
I agree. Before we move on to some Nuff Said here, just a couple of quick shout-outs. I feel like Rafi Devers is... I mean, he's not going to get the conversation for All-Star because I honestly feel like it's just people just expect him to be there. But in terms of AL third baseman, it goes Jose Ramirez and then it's Devers. And I don't know if there's really an argument for anyone that's even close to either of those two.
So, I think he'll make it. I mean, he's got what? 14, he's easily 14 home runs.
He's
889. Yeah. And this is after a pretty rough series in Cincinnati. He's still got an 889 OPS. So that'll probably go up over 900 again at some point. I think we also have to mention Kenley too. Kenley got so much crap at the beginning of the year because he didn't want to pitch in like the second game of the season because he had back soreness and he's 37 years old, God forbid. So he was smart, didn't push himself, and now he looks great. He's got a 2.39 ERA. He's 15 for 16 in save opportunities, 31 strikeouts in 26.1 innings, 1.06 WHIP. I love how when a guy gets on first base, he just lets the guy steal second because he does not give a shit. He's Kenley Jansen. He's a Hall of Famer. Fifth most saves all time. Another guy who should make the All-Star team. So to recap, options, Duran, Wong, Houck, Devers, Kenley. Pretty damn impressive.
It's crazy. It's tough because I agree with you, Sammy, like as a closer too, because they love to pick closers for it, especially big name guys. But I do feel like relievers is a good way to get those teams that aren't going to get anybody. Like the Sox got Kenley last year. He probably wouldn't have been an All-Star last year. His ERA was like 3, but they had no one else. So they get the guy. So that's like, I don't know what other teams are like that, but there's certainly
Sox. It's all coming down to the record. It depends on what the Sox record is at. And that will, I think, determine how many guys go.
But can you really realistically argue that the Red Sox, like no matter what they do between today and the All-Star break, is there any way that they could get to the point where you would say the Red Sox should have 5 All-Stars?
No,
that's the question.
That's pretty tough. I don't do the 2018.
They should have at least 2. Have 5?
Yeah, the they've 18 had, team had.
They might have had 7.
Eovaldi, Mookie, Xander,
JD,
Moreland. JD. Moreland was an All-Star at one point. Was it that year?
No, I think it was 16, 17. Who else was on that team?
Benny was an All-Star at one point. Was he that? Jackie was an All-Star at one point, but I don't think it was that year.
Let's see. Moreland was an All-Star 18.
Wow. Yeah. So they had like 5 or 6.
Here, I'll just look it up. 2018 All-Star.
I think the 07 Red Sox had like 7. I remember Uke was batting lower in the All-Star game order than he batted in the Red Sox order. That was crazy. Mike Lowell, or maybe it was, yeah, I think it was Uke.
Yeah,
Mookie, yeah, 07 was loaded. It was Pap, Manny, Ortiz, Lowell. Lester, I think Okajima Beckett made it too.
JD Drew.
Yeah, Okajima made it in 2007. Oki made it. And I remember being like a setup man made it to the All-Star team. I believe he ended that season with a 2.22 ERA, if I remember correctly.
That was the last time Red Sox fans actually cared about All-Star voting.
Let me see if I got that right. Hideki Okajima. 2.22 is my guess.
I have zero doubt you're gonna hit it right. You're the true number memory guy. I don't know. We need to think of a better name for you for that, but it's crazy what your head does.
Yeah, 2.22 ERA, 66 games, 69 innings. So he pitched a lot in a 2.15 ERA plus. That was the strangest windup I've ever, or delivery, I should say. I didn't really have a windup, just kind of threw it. But you guys remember what he would do with his head? He would just look away. He would not look where he's throwing the ball, which is not what you're taught to do, but it worked for this guy.
Yeah, God, those were great days. The Red Sox used to pack All-Star games back then.
Hey, but I'm having fun now, man. This is good. I'm really enjoying this team. This is fun, and like, this is all I wanted. I said at the beginning of the year, if they're playing competitive games down the stretch, I'm happy. This is stretch number one, right ahead of the trade deadline. We're gonna have so much trade deadline talk in the coming weeks. So buckle up for that. This was what I wanted. Playing good baseball in important parts of the season. Step one. So far, so good.
Final question before, or maybe two questions, depending on how you guys answer it, before we move to Nuff Said. Pat, I'll start with you. Red Sox over under 2.5 All-Stars in this year's game?
Under. I think they get two. I think it's Duran. I think it's Houck.
Sammy?
I'll go over. I think Wong makes it. Just because the catching crop is not great, they can't only have two, so they're probably going to do, especially if one of them is Salvador Perez, who can barely even get into the crouch anymore. So I'll go three. I think it's going to be the three we spoke about, Duran, Wong, Houck.
I'm taking the over, and I'm taking it with extreme confidence because I think Duran, Houck, and Devers are all guaranteed makes. And
I think Wong has a good Devers. Shot. Yeah, okay, never mind. Yeah, how do I do a Red Sox podcast, and I forgot to say Rafael Devers for All-Star. Yeah, so I think they'll actually have four.
I was going to ask 3.5, but I wanted to start with 2.5 in case one of you guys thought that maybe one of those guys wasn't going. So
I think Kenley's going to get snubbed just because there's not a lot of good closers, but there's ample, and he's on the lower end of the elite spectrum. He's been really good, but there's guys who have been better.
So many relievers that like you could make the argument that Bernie should make it. You could make the argument that Kelly should make it. You can make the argument that Slayton's been great and should make, like Chris Martin could have made it last year. Like there's so many relievers that miss. So, Slayton. Yeah, I agree.
Slayton kind of get... Look, I really like Slayton, but he's not even close. Why? You're the third person to say that to me. That's why I'm confused. I'm like, why are we saying Slayton?
I'm not saying he should make it. I'm just saying, like, he's got an ERA probably within a half run of Kenley.
He's got a 3.3 ERA. He's not even close to Kenley. Kenley's 2.39. I like Slayton a lot. He's been really, really good and, like, rule 5 pick awesome, but, like... I don't know. People are talking about him as closer now. Like, I like him in that multi-inning role. He's really good at it. Keep him there.
Is his ERA really 3.3?
3.03.
Oh, 3.03. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, he's certainly not an All-Star, but I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of relievers that pitch really well, and, like, you could make the case for, like, Bernie had an ERA under 1 for a long time. Like, Zach Kelly's well under 2. Obviously, not enough innings, but, like, I'm just saying, like, you could make arguments for so many relievers, and you could do it for teams that don't have many or any All-Stars. They'll get their one guy to be that random reliever, like Joe Mantiply on the Diamondbacks that 1 year made it. Like, that's the type of shit that's going to cost Kenley an All-Star nod.
Aaron Crow.
Jason Grilly made it. Oh, wait, no. Jason Grilly actually might have deserved it. Who's the other guy? Who's the lefty that they had? They traded him for, like, Yordan Alvarez or something. It was ridiculous.
Watson?
Yeah, Watson. Who was
Cody Watson? Okay, wait. Hold on.
Oh, no. O'Neill Cruz. It was for O'Neill Cruz.
I got one more I want to bring up, and I can't believe I'm saying this. This is like a real, real plus 5,000 long shot. David Hamilton has 21 stolen bases.
He's been awesome. He's been great, but no.
I think he's got a better chance than Slayton. 21 bags.
He does have a better chance than Slayton.
High 700s OPS, approaching 800. That's a pretty damn good player. But no, he's not going to make it. I just wanted to
give him the shout out, give him the love, maybe pump him up in the rookie of the year conversation. But yeah, definitely not an All-Star, but give him some rookie of the year love. If he keeps this going, maybe go top five. But yeah, let's move to some Nuff Said before we wrap this baby up. Sam, you want to go first here?
Yeah, just really quick. The Celtics parade was awesome. Had that on Friday. We haven't spoken since then on the show, so just wanted to say shout out to everyone who was there. That was probably the biggest parade I've been to. I've been to 4 of them. I didn't go to the 2004 Red Sox one, but this probably was the craziest one I've been to. So shout out to the Celtics. Shout out to the city of Boston for putting on another great parade, the 13th one that we've had since the year 2001. Feels good to be a Boston sports fan. Let's do it again next year.
I'll go next because mine is also on the subject of the parade, which was fantastic, elite, just unbelievable vibes throughout the city, all throughout the city, not even just on the parade route, just all over the place. It was incredible. But one of my favorite parts of the day, I walked the dog. I live pretty close to the parade route. Like, it ends at Heinz Convention Center. I live very close to that. So I took Chester for a walk through the parade route afterwards so he could sniff the celebration. Oh, he had a great time. He's got a Celtics bandana. Everyone was giving him all the love. He has never gotten more love in his life. And I really do think it's because the vibes that the Celtics leave, that the fans leave after a parade, it's just immaculate. He was just happy to be alive. I think it was because he was sniffing the celebration. So shout out Celtics. Shout out Chester. Good boy indeed.
Great ears. Best floppy ears.
Yep. Pat?
Do we lose Pat? Is Pat frozen? Trying to build a snowman?
Pat is like moving up and down.
Pat's next said is that Wi-Fi. Oh, Pat, are you back?
He's back. Dude, I don't know what's... I've never had issues. Anyways, I'm going to be the bearer of bad news here. It's going to be a sad week on Twitter because this is the week that the Bruins are likely trading Linus Hallmark. So mentally prepare yourselves for all of the edits of the goalie hugs, the Jeremy Swayman, Linus Hallmark romance. It's going to be a sad week.
Dude, but did we not learn anything from Nomar Garciaparra and Marcus Smart?
What'd you say?
You got to make these tough trades.
I agree with you, Sammy. It's like the hardest thing in sports, but like sometimes to get where you need to go, you just got to make the tough move.
And by the way, especially the Bruins. The reason the Wi-Fi issues are happening, Joe just brought it up in our chat. There's a tornado warning in lovely New England. So that's why the sky just turned like black. Boston.
Well, it's a tornado watch. It's a watch.
Oh, the sky is black where I am.
It's not a warning, guys.
We're just here to watch.
You just take a look. It's not.
It's like a watch party. It's like the finals. You'll gather up.
It's a harmless tornado.
And Gardner, you and me will stare at each other while it's going on.
Wait, we're going to see like 10 people get flung around by the tornado. I'm just going to turn around and be like, hey, you see that? Oh,
no, guys, don't worry. It's a tornado watch. It's fine. It's a watch. That's not going to hurt you. It's a harmless one.
It's not going to hurt me. It's going to hurt
but Jacob Pat, across the street. You're right. This is probably when Linus Ullmark is going to get traded to Ottawa. Maybe if Edmonton blows it, maybe Edmonton. But we've learned this lesson. Nomar, Marcus Smart, you got to make those tough trades. It hurts. But winning feels good.
And the return's going to be good. The return's going to be good. You
get Jacob Chychrun and the 25th pick in the draft. That's my prediction.
Yes.
Oh, I'd love that. Sorry, Linus. Goodbye. Have a good time. Ryan Reynolds, Ottawa.
We're almost entering that time of year where it's like NBA and NHL free agency happen and the MLB trade deadline comes and goes. It's just like...
It's fun.
It's a fun time of year. I don't... Like, you're not going to see the Celtics do much of anything, but Sox, we'll see. We'll have tons of trade deadline conversations like Bruins, like obviously with Ullmark, we'll see there. But yeah, keep an eye out for Sox trade deadline talk conversations all around, but specifically here on Play Tessie. Anything else from you guys before we wrap this baby up?
That's it. That's it. Stay safe from the tornado watch party. And this is our new format. I'm going to do a kind of like a PSA from our socials, but this is our new format. We're going to do two short podcasts rather than one long one. So you'll have more Play Tessie in total, actually. So you're welcome for that. Let it be said, let it be done.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Let it be said, let it be done. But yeah, more Play Tessie for the people. It's what the people want. It's what the people need. But for now, for today, thank you for tuning in to episode 85 of Play Tessie. We are getting close. We are within 15 episodes of the 100 mark. It feels like we just started, but here we are, 85 episodes in. Before you check out, before you click whatever else you're going to click, hit that subscribe button, whether you're on Apple, Spotify, or the Odyssey app. Hit the subscribe button and rate us 5 stars. Check us out on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel. We've got a Play Tessie playlist, so check out all of our videos there. Every episode is going to be up there. You can hit the thumbs up on those videos. It helps us out a ton. You can check us out on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Tons of good content coming out there for you guys, so definitely worth keeping an eye on those. But for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe in the back, this is Play Tessie episode 85. Thanks for tuning in. Toodaloo.